today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, there's one very important thing to know about today's episode.
Okay, what's that?
Kurt didn't start the fire.
Kurt didn't start the fire?
No, it was always burning since the world's been turning. Okay, we're here at Suburbs Fest, and we are talking with some of our amazing listeners. And today on Rock of the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
In the hot spot here is Kurt Gallagher.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
So, and Kurt is from New York.
We'd like to suburbs of New York.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to set the timer here. And all right, yeah. So, Kurt came down from suburban New York City, and he is like a legit performer. And last night at the Hootenanny, the live Hootenanny, man, he got the crowd involved. Yeah, he really got things going.
The first thing that came to my mind is, who's got to follow this? It's not going to be easy. Now, I can't remember who it was, but it wasn't easy.
Well, what's funny about that? Tell it a little bit. Like, what is the audience you normally perform for?
Well, the average age is kindergarten, so pre-K, kindergarten, first and second grade, and I go to schools, camps, libraries, a lot of libraries, and I just try to keep them busy, so it's a lot of audience participation, right. A lot of stomping your feet and clapping your hands and rubbing your belly and tapping the top of your head, stuff like that.
I thought when I actually saw you do one of these songs to adults at a brewery, I thought it was masterful because it's like all these people are like talking and stuff and having their conversations, and some people are paying attention to the music, others aren't. But you had to stop and pay attention to Kurt, right?
Suddenly had to sing about eggs.
Like all you 6-year-olds out there, you know.
Clap on time. Yeah,
that's right.
I skipped the part about jumping up and down and wiggling your hips from side to side. That was a little too far.
Probably
but,
a good idea.
Yeah, there probably was some liability involved with that last night. Yeah. So, all right. So, Kurt, was there something else you wanted to talk about, or should we just talk in general?
We could talk in general if you want, and I don't want to take questions from the bag, though, because those two questions scared me a little bit. But right. I could tell you a quick story, or you could ask me questions if you want. I was just thinking of this story that I found three of my all-time favorite albums on a pile of rejects at an AM radio station.
Really?
In the early 80s.
Wow.
I was working as a college kid in an ice cream parlor / video arcade. And I was using the restroom. I might have been in there cleaning at the end of the night, and smoke started coming out of the sink. And in the basement, there was a warehouse full of Hodaka motorcycle parts. Somebody had bought all of the spare parts for Hodaka motorcycles. And in an insurance scam, he set the building on fire.
Really? Wow.
So my car was surrounded by fire hoses, and I couldn't leave. I was stuck there all night until they were done putting out this huge fire.
Incredible.
So I didn't have a job because the whole building burned down. So the radio station...
Wait, hang on. I'm confused a little. So where were you when the building was burning down?
I was
You couldn't
working,
leave?
I couldn't leave the area because my car was there, but I was across the street.
Okay, when they were putting all right, fire. All right. Yeah, I think that's an important detail.
There was a little gas station across the street. I had some water, and I was watching the fire.
Okay.
But at the end, there was a radio station there covering the fire, and I said to the owner of the station, who I knew because my brother was a big high school athlete, and they love sports at this local radio station, I said, John... I don't have a job. He said, come and work at the radio station. You like music? I said, I do like music. I will work at the radio station. And he said, come in for an interview, but you're probably going to definitely be hired. And then he calls me the following Tuesday and said, our afternoon DJ called in sick. You're on today.
Oh, my God.
Nice. And that I had like a 5 or 6 year radio career in my early 20s.
Wow.
I think I was 18 at that time. And it was an AM radio station, and the FM was country, and the AM played like top 40 hits. And it was a big sprawling, it was a whole floor of a high rise, and there were piles of records laying around. They used to send records, and I said, what's going on with these records? And they're like, oh, they're rejects, we're gonna throw them away. And back then, if you wanted to hear music, you had to buy it.
Right. Right.
So it's not like today. So I hung out in record stores and bought a lot of records, but I was always up for something free, you know? Yeah. So I looked through these piles of records and I grabbed a whole bunch of them. And I took them home and just threw them on the pile, and I went through them one at a time. But three of my all-time favorites were in there.
Wow.
One I listened to right away was Swordfish Trombones by Tom Waits.
Wow. Well, he came home from the war with a party in his head and a modified program to fill. And a pair of legs that opened up like butterfly wings and a mad dog who wouldn't sit still. Went and took up with a Salvation Army band group. Played dirty water from a swordfish trombone. He went to sleep at the bottom of Ten Killer Lake. It's a cheap, but it's great to be home. Well, he came home from the war with a party in his head and an idea for a fireworks display. He knew that he'd be ready with a stainless steel machete. Half a pint of Valentine's each day. And he hole up in a room above a hardware store, crying nothing there but Hollywood tears. He put a spell on some poor little Crutchfield girl. He stayed like that for 27 years. He packed up all his expectations. He lit out for California with a fly swatter banjo on his knee. With Lucky Tiger in his angel hair. Ben's a dream for getting there. Found him in a eucalyptus tree. Lieutenant got him a canary bird and skanked her head with every word. Chesterfield and moonbeams in a song. He got 20 years for loving her from some Oklahoma governor. Said everything this doughboy does is wrong.
And I was expecting like the piano storytelling stuff. Yep. And I put that on, I'm like, wow, this is different.
Yeah.
And I really like this.
A whole new world.
And I just dove into that right away and fell in love with that record. The next one, I was in a high school talent show. And we did a Kinks song Skin and Bones, which I knew from Celluloid Heroes. Yeah. It was on this compilation. And I was like, I couldn't really figure out all the lyrics and it was bothering me, but I tried the best that I could. And then years later, one of these records that I found in this pile of rejects was Muswell Hillbillies.
Oh, no. Wow.
And that song is on that album. It's the worst song on the album, but it's in my top five favorite albums of all time.
Wow.
Muswell, I think it really speaks to me. As a Kinks fan, that was the peak for me. And that song was there with the lyrics 3 years after the talent show. There were the lyrics
Incredible.
Sitting for me. So that's always been at the top of the list for me. And the other one was Joe Ely's first album.
Oh, wow.
Which I slept on for a long time. It stayed in the pile until he was opening up for The Clash.
Right, right. Yeah.
And Musta Not A Lotta came out. Musta Not A Lotta is also a really great Joe Ely album. Mm-hmm. I think that was his fourth studio album. But I went back to listen to his first album, which I think I like even better, his first album. He had such a great band, all these Texas guys. And that's a really hot record. So those are three of my probably top 10 records that I got for free from a pile in an AM radio station in central Pennsylvania.
Well, I tried my best to be at rest when the moon and the wind both died. You locked me in with your best friend, though your window was open wide. I escaped in time to see your man trucking in a bar again. He was finally Lucy, singing to Susie, sucking a big bottle of gin. He was finally Lucy, singing to Susie, sucking a big bottle of gin.
Because of a fire.
Because of a fire. Well, that's how I got the job.
Yeah.
And then I went on to Williamsport, which is where they had the Little League World Series, and did AOR in Williamsport.
Wow.
And then I went to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and played country.
Really?
For 6 hours a day, which was a little depressing
and
to listen to country.
What year was that?
81.
Okay.
81.
So it's that kind of country, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And George Jones was supposed to do a concert, yeah, and he didn't show up.
Oh,
he was
wow.
in Myrtle Beach, but didn't show up to the venue.
I knew I was supposed to do something while I was here. I can't remember what.
One artist I remember from country in those days was John Anderson, and I saw him, and he played a bunch of Rolling Stones songs.
Oh, really?
As his encore.
Wow,
he was
that's
really
pretty cool.
Yeah. And then I came back and worked at another AOR station and went back to college in Lock Haven. This is where this other AM radio station was. And it was 92 WSQV, 92.3. And they bought an airplane because they wanted to fly around the country and look for other small radio stations they could buy. Mm-hmm. But after they bought this airplane, they did this promotion where they dropped $9,200 out of an airplane at a mall parking lot.
Nice.
They dropped this money out of this airplane, and the wind took it on top of the mall.
Oh, no.
The money landed on top of the mall. So the custodians go up there, and they're sweeping money off the top of the mall. And all the people that were there were like fighting over the money as it's falling off the edge of the roof of the mall.
Radio station promos that have gone wrong.
Well, I will say, I looked here, and I'm trying to think of the Joe Ely albums, but it's the first one is the one with like the black and white pencil type drawing,
yes,
of his face.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
The second one, Honky Tonk Masquerade,
oh,
folks,
so good,
is great.
So
it's got
good.
A song called Fingernails on,
yes,
it. If you don't know that song,
yeah, Fingernails.
Keep my fingernails long so they click when I play the piano. It's
piano.
Really awesome.
When they click when I play the piano.
Yeah, that's right. It's beautiful, boogie. Texas swing type tune, but yeah, oh, he's great too.
But
like
I had
Grant
my
Parker.
Hopes up high. The first track on, yeah, his first album just comes out of the
great
out
album.
Of the gate.
Discogs is telling me I have it in my collection. You have to play when I get home. I don't know, but Discogs knows.
Right. What do you think of Grant Parker? You're a big fan.
I love,
right?
Grant Parker. Just, yeah, saw him at a house concert 2 weeks ago.
Is that right?
There's like 80 people there in somebody's backyard by a lake.
Amazing.
And there's. His family tree is really interesting because the rumor was Nick Lowe, the Brinsley Schwartz, Nick Lowe's band. Nick Lowe split off, and Brinsley Schwartz went on to be the Rumor.
Right.
So there's a lot of family tree stuff going on with Elvis Costello, Nick Lowe, Graham Parker. But it's Blue Eyed Soul. When I saw him singing in that backyard, he was just strumming a guitar. But the songs are soul. They're,
yeah,
soul songs.
Amazing.
Kevin was exactly on the money with that one.
Yeah.
Even you know, the political songs like You Can't Be Too Strong, it's like a soul song when, mm-hmm, you sing it. But he did forget a lot of the lyrics to it.
Is that right?
He was singing new songs that he wrote during the pandemic,
wow,
at the house concert. I,
wow,
love Grant Parker.
He's all over the place, Grant Parker.
I know.
He's been seeing him. Yeah, I gotta keep my eyes open.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much, Kurt.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thanks, Kurt. Congratulations on a great weekend.
We will not be dropping money off the roof tonight, but it's not a bad idea.
No, none of that. No turkeys either.
No.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk with somebody else tomorrow.
Yes. And the next ride I got was with a man in trouble.
There was one more I got to tell you about. I was hired to follow people around that had our WSQV bumper sticker,
uh-huh,
and I would say their license plate, and if they were listening,
oh,
they would pull over, and I would give them a $100 bill.
No way.
I did this every morning for a month, and on the last day, well, I can't tell this story because I don't know if the statute of limitations qualifies, so I'll have to tell this one to a private group on Facebook, probably.
Oh,
you read your own license plate number. Why didn't I think of this earlier in the month?
Very, very close. Maybe you should ask me a question now.
Yeah.
Get me out of trouble.